Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Introducing the greatest animated series you've never seen, Lightning Dogs. These canine commandos are lost on a post-apocalyptic Earth and battling the forces of the evil Glampire. It's a tribute to the cartoons and sci-fi of the 80s and 90s, and Nerdy Show is hell-bent on bringing it to life.
Blocks sold separately.
Join us as we document our quest from the moment lightning struck to every world-building session and beyond, and make our crazy dream a reality. Roll with the pack at lightningdogs.com.
The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Network, geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop, and Nerd Destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other fun geek programming, visit nerdyshow.com. Welcome to Nerdy Show, a weekly podcast dedicated to every facet of nerddom, from comics and video games to science and technology. If it's geeky, we've got it covered. Hi, I'm Cap.
I'm Scruffy Brandon.
And I'm Boar.
I'm Scruffy because I haven't shaved in a hot minute.
I actually have a larger amount of scruff than normal, too.
You know, fun
like
fact.
Like, I've been letting it go. I'm starting to use, like, a number three trimmer instead of the number one.
I haven't done anything. And fun fact, a hot minute is the equivalent of a cold second, which is about half a fortnight, I learned. There's some conversion facts for you.
Cool. Well, thanks. Hey, we're here for fun facts.
I lied. It's all made up. But
That's 100% true.
Oh, okay.
That is 100% true. I can verify it. I'm freshly shorn. So nice to always have a counterpoint.
I don't think that's a real word. I've never heard the word shorn before. Is that where you're at? Like, you're on the shore of a beach? And someone like steps on your foot, and you're like, "I'm shorn."
Yeah, you nailed it. I didn't know what the word was.
I've been shorn.
You figured out the definition through context cues.
When you're shipwrecked on a shore,
and you did a great job, Brandon.
When you're shipwrecked upon a shore, you've been shorn.
Right, exactly. It's like that Natalie Imbruglia song, "Shorn." Yeah.
And now Brandon just shorn us up.
Yeah. I was on a boat. Now I'm so shorn. A nibble by the crabs lying naked on the sand.
You know what? Actually, now that I hear myself talk, I'm not so shorn about it. So. Boar didn't laugh. He was busy doing something else. He didn't laugh at my not anyway.
Or it just wasn't funny. One of
whatever, Boar.
Well,
I said something funny. You didn't laugh. Therefore, you weren't paying attention.
Welcome back to a normal episode of Nerdy Show. We've had a very
whatever
peculiar
that means.
January. Whatever that means.
I mean, we've got only three people this episode. Normal is four.
That's
if you want
true.
To get right down
we,
to it.
We had some last-minute cancellations. It's been a busy weekend.
If you want to get down to brass tacks.
Is that now... Okay, does that come from when money used to be brass, Boar?
I don't know.
Brass tax? Like, you pay your tax to society only in brass because they didn't accept silver or copper.
No, it's taxes only paid by military brass. You know, high up military people.
What are they doing with all the brass?
Well, they
what is
they,
happening with the brass
they
shortage?
Guard America's brass reserves.
In Fort Knox.
Right, exactly. Because brass is the you know, the resource that all of the federal funds are based around.
Orchestras use a lot of brass. What you're saying is that's a form of brass laundering.
Hey, if
that's money laundering in the form of brass, right? Orchestras.
Well, if you're hurting for cash and you want to do a robbery, burglar musician, particularly someone in maybe a ska band or a symphony,
sell their brass. I forgot what you were talking
about.
Haven't you
seen the store that's brass for cash?
Brass for cash. No, that's true. And then Mr. Brass is outside
and,
with that top hat.
Most of the time, it's actually more of a dealership for brass, cash, and ass. But
yeah, no rides are free.
Well.
Anyway, it's been a weird time. We hope you enjoyed our film commentary microsodes. Let us know if that's something we should never do again. Those are by listener request, kind of. We sort of put our own spin on the necessity of
having to watch movies we hadn't seen before.
It's like, do a 15-minute episode. Let's turn it into 2 hours.
Well, I mean, if you haven't seen the movie, either read the Wikipedia page and give you a half-assed episode or, you know. So at least one of them was fun. So let us know what you think. And then we also had that interview with Mark with a C and Jordan Zadorozny. And I hope you enjoyed that too. But let's... The last time you really heard from us was episode 300. So this is 301.
Woo!
And we didn't bring anything interesting to eat today.
That's good.
I do have these bags of Doritos Blaze, but I haven't decided what I'm doing with them yet because D&D's still on hiatus.
They're totes Blaze, yo. Those Doritos are clutch.
Yeah? Are they?
Totes Blaze, those clutch Doritos.
What are you even saying? Are these human words? Are they like another...
You guys just aren't with the millennials.
Brandon, you're being very extra right now.
Oh my god, you're being extra.
You aren't with the millennials.
At least I'm not basic. It's better to be extra than basic. Shit.
Is that a relevant terminology anymore?
What, basic?
Yeah.
I mean...
Or extra. I mean, extra is a kind of gum, and it probably has aspartame in it, so I'm not interested.
Hey, speaking of which, since we just brought up food and aspartame, I'm drinking a new Mountain Dew Ice today.
How many flavors of Mountain Dew are there? Every episode, there's like 5 new flavors.
I know. Oh, it's amazing that
Doritos
I'm able to do
in
that.
America could hold a candle to this.
But here's why aspartame just triggered me a little bit, is ooh, because triggered. If you look on this can, it's got about 100 calories. A normal one has about 150 plus calories. Maybe like 170. They're sneaking aspartame into this drink, and they're not calling it diet.
Yeah,
they need to cut that shit out.
Tastes bad, too.
Ugh, that is really fucked up. That is really, really fucked up.
The worst one is I got one of those new Mountain Dew Game Fuels. I didn't bring any of those today, good. But the Mountain Dew Game Fuel Arctic Blast has the same problem. It's about 100 calories. They throw some fucking... It's not aspartame, actually. It's Splenda.
Ooh, that's even worse.
But...
Well, no, it's not worse.
I like Splenda slightly better, but that's like, do you like being stabbed in the neck or the back
or the
better?
Penis.
Yeah.
So it sounds to me like you're going to be writing some angry letters to the company that owns Mountain Dew.
Yeah, it's like if I wanted a diet drink, I'd, you know, buy a diet drink.
I wonder, I'm curious what the logic is for Mountain Dew doing that, because, I mean, one would usually aspartame is marketed as like, you know, sugar-free or whatever, and that's because the marketing for sugar-free is enough to bait somebody into buying this cancer-causing agent.
They've got about half of the regular sugar in here, so they're probably like, oh, well, we put less sugar in than everybody else, even though we're sneaking in artificial sweeteners when people don't want them.
You know, in Great Britain, aspartame is illegal to use in food.
It should be.
Yeah. And
because it's terrible.
But it's, you know, it's because of American chemical companies say, hey, you know, we got these big barrels of this thing that's, you know, mildly digestible. Can we sell it to something else? Sure, why not? Hey, here's another fun fact. Don't eat Cinnamon Toast Crunch. That shit is full of...
Wait, that's my favorite cereal.
Let me look it up what exactly it is.
Full of cinnamon and sugar if you look
closely.
Are you
sure that you can't just see what the kids are interested in?
Yeah, it contains lots of cinnamon and sugar crystals.
You're
just too old, Pops.
Trisodium phosphate is in a lot of sugary cereals, and you shouldn't eat that.
Okay, but to be fair, have you ever had disodium phosphate? Trisodium is way tastier.
Okay.
Disodium is garbage
I'll
water.
Bite. Why don't I want this?
It's like used in detergents and stuff. This is off the top. I looked up the name, but I'm not going to read the thing to give you the proper information. Now, you should look up this information yourself because I'm just going off the cuff, basically. But it's basically, you know, it's like it's a thing that's used for industrial cleaning purposes or something along those lines. Well, that you don't they don't there's not really an abundance of research as to how much of it can be used safely in food products.
Will it clean my colon? Because I mean, I'm okay with putting detergent in my cereal if it cleans me out.
And you know. If you don't want to be concerned about what's in your food and you think giving a damn about what's in your food is hippie bullshit, well, I don't know, man. Personally, I think they should just put sugar in it and like let's just deal with that. I like sugar. Sugar's great. If I want something bad for me, then I will eat it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Just put sugar in it if I want something else. You know, at least if they're going to start sneaking shit in there, sneak in stevia instead of this other bullshit.
You've been listening to Healthy Show.
Have you had stevia? It's
I
disgusting.
Love stevia, but here's the thing
you
with
love
stevia.
Stevia. You who love sugar,
yeah,
and can't like stevia.
You have to cut it with sugar.
So it's, stevia's yo, great if you add sugar.
I don't
to
want
it.
My stevia
seriously.
Stepped on. You can't cut that.
What's the point?
No, seriously. Like if they were doing these hybrid, like let's throw some sugar in there, but not all the full
but
amount
use
of sugar.
Stevia.
If they use stevia instead, I would be a lot more happy with it.
Cool. Well, you can buy stevia by the jar, man. We got.
But still, I'd want them to label it like that.
I was trying to look up why they started cutting with aspartame. I can't find any knowledge. Something to do with drug and pharmaceutical companies lacing your Mountain Dew with shit in America, not other countries. They don't put up with that crap.
But anyway, this Mountain Dew Ice is, it's lemon lime flavored. And basically,
so it's Sprite.
Basically, it's just Sprite.
Why is it
clear
called ice?
And everything.
Why is it called ice?
Ice.
I don't understand. Like, they already make Sierra Mist, and it's basically like
actually,
Sierra Mist.
I don't think they do. I think Sierra Mist is dead.
Oh, whatever. They used to.
Yeah.
So they're trying to resurrect it as Mountain Dew Ice?
No, Mountain Dew Ice is a tax write-off. They're offloading old Sierra Mist syrup, and they're offloading all the aspartame.
That's true. They just have a warehouse full of that friggin' concentrate.
Food is an industry, and therefore, mistakes get made. And here we are. But hey, this is, I don't know, this isn't why you're listening to the show, so let's switch gears to something else.
Guys, if you're going to eat grapes, they've got to be organic. I've had experience. Conventional grapes suck up pesticides. Got to be organic. Same with apples. Apples.
There's
and grapes,
not even
organic.
Caffeine in this. How can they call it Mountain Dew?
Wait, there's no caffeine?
No.
Are you sure they just don't label it because they don't have to?
Hey, man, I really like Pepsi Blue. It wasn't Pepsi, and that's what made people mad. So, I don't know. If you don't like, you either like it or you don't like it.
Well, that's the number one search. Does Mountain Dew Ice have caffeine? Oh, man. Mountain Dew. I'm reading it right now. Forget about Nerdy Show. I'm looking up shit on Mountain Dew. Yeah.
At some point, we have to decide, are we doing a podcast about shitty food or...
No, I'm learning shit. It says, yeah, it's missing from their lemon lime soda. Sorry. No caffeine.
We read the can. And
that's totally bullshit.
I was just making sure that there's...
All right. You have something better.
We
Let's switch to that.
We have not done an episode where we've talked about really relatively anything for a couple months now because December was weird. January's been weird. Our episode 300 was 100% weird. So...
Well, what have you got?
Well, what have you got, Brandon? You had an interesting Christmas.
Oh, well...
Or Hanukkah.
Here's the thing. So I have a friend named Fat Tits Finnegan. I know it's 2018, but that's her name, not mine. I didn't choose it.
We've been clear about this. That's an alias that she uses because she's a medical professional, and she appeared on our penis episode. And the one concession is that she could have to be called something other than her name.
Yes. So Fat Tits Finnegan it was. So I thought for fun,
whose penis did she appear on?
Who knows?
The now classic Nerdy Show episode, the Pen 15 Club, where our listeners did a listener-requested topic, and the topic they chose was penises.
Oh.
So,
okay.
Basically, I thought she celebrates Christmas, and that's getting real old real fast, so why not celebrate? Why not celebrate Hanukkah? She's not used to Hanukkah, and so I thought, you know, 8 days of presents. She's going to love this. I'll send her one present a day, but, you know, not in a row, because who has time for that? And I was like, I was searching Amazon, I was searching around, I was like, what can I send her that'll be really fun and teach her about life and teach her what Hanukkah's all about?
Right.
And I was like, oh, Amazon sells live animals. Yeah. Obviously,
I
that's
mean, people
good for
love
the society
pets.
And environment.
This sounds like a good idea so far.
So the first gift I sent was 1,500 ladybugs in a box. All were alive. I want to point
that
out. This is relevant. They were all alive
when
she got
them. Actually sounds like a pretty helpful gift because
no, she loved it.
There's so many Japanese beetles these days, and ladybugs are kind of being killed off by these things.
I didn't know that.
So if you had a bunch of ladybugs that you could release, it would help, you know, redo the ecosystem and
well, they're great for your plants. They eat the aphids.
Yeah, they eat aphids.
Yeah.
I want to point out that
extremely beneficial.
I would really enjoy a Japanese cover band called the Japanese Beatles. That sounds very interesting.
But so she thought, wow, this is
Watashi wa John Lennon this.
Hi.
Well, if you're interested,
you mean John Renan.
If you're interested in some Asian Beatles, the Yellow Magic Orchestra, which is a that's a very
I'm just laughing now.
A very famous synth pop band from the 80s. Ryuichi Sakamoto was among them. He's a famous film composer now. They did a cover of Day Tripper, and it's really fucking weird. So check
there
it
is
out.
The Asian Beatles.
They did one song.
Okay,
they did one song. So, anyway,
so back to Hanukkah.
Back to your biblical plagues.
When I went, okay, first off, the ladybugs were amazing. And then I was like, day two, what does she need? I was like, oh, 500 large crickets. Those would be good for her yard and keep her up all night, which is my goal. That'll teach
her
a lesson.
That would help feed her geckos.
Yeah. Well, the problem was 400 of them were dead. I was really upset, actually, because it's cruel. My view was I'm buying these animals, which are being fed to other animals as feeder. And I was like, well, we're gonna let them go in a garden. We're going to let them go free. And of course, I have friends who are like, well, you're just enabling them to breed more and do that. And that's a valid point. But moving on, she she gets this box. She sees it's from me, and she hears some chirping, and she's like, oh, God, why? And there's flies coming out of it at this point. She then, at about midnight, takes it to a church in the middle of the night and takes this box and starts opening it.
Biblical plagues.
When the cops show up. And the cops are like, what are you doing with that box? And she's like, my friend sent me 500 crickets and I don't know what to do with them. And so they're like,
why did
right.
you come to a church?
Yeah, they apparently didn't care.
Because she was looking for a public garbage bin and she knew that was the closest one nearby.
Ah.
Yeah, there was a video and she opened the
box.
Was
she at least near the garbage with this box?
I'm under the impression yes. And they're like, oh, what's going on over there?
I'm imagining her on the front steps, like just... fiddling around with a box.
Or leaving it like a baby.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, that was a disaster. Only about 100 of them were alive, and it was gross. And I contacted the seller and was very upset. They gave me a refund. But yeah, 400 crickets and flies eating each other. Don't ever order crickets.
Well, no, let's see. It is the
ladybugs are great.
The fourth plague, mixture of wild animals or flies.
Okay, day three was some live harvester ants. They're pretty big ants. They come in tubes that are used for a refill for ant farms, but the joke is on her because she didn't have an ant farm. And I was like, what is she going to do with these ants? She's screwed. And she just opened them and put them outside. So the ants went free. That was it.
Well,
that was day three.
Maybe they would fight some of the native ants and then kill them off. And if you didn't send her a queen, then they would die off too. So that could have a net benefit. It sounds like you've put a lot of thought into these gifts and so far... you know, great job.
Well, day four was 1,000 live mealworms. And I was like, well, she could just feed them to her dog. Dogs eat anything.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, and we have lots soil, of lizards around, and that would help encourage them.
I'm actually under the impression if you eat a McDonald's, you're also eating mealworms. So
yeah. So it's healthy. Checkers as well. Those are just, they
that
even,
makes sense.
They
yeah. Probably crystal.
It. And these mealworms turn into large beetles. So once again, we're back with beetles. So that was day four. I had to cancel like 3 other days.
Why?
So let's talk about the one she has currently, and I'll talk about the canceled ones. So,
okay.
The one she has currently were 2 live leopard frog tadpoles.
Ah.
Now these tadpoles,
day two, plague of frogs.
These tadpoles are huge. They're like half the size of a dollar bill.
Okay.
And she gets them.
That sounds pretty awesome.
She gets these 2 tadpoles, and she takes a video, and she's like, what the hell am I going to do with these? So she's keeping them in a bowl, and she made it nice and put a little tank in there, and she's got like flat.
What did she name them?
She named them Brandon and Bird Food. Because that's what's going to happen to them when they get older. Little did she know. She thought because they were so big, they were about to turn into frogs. They were just born. They've got like 6 months. These frogs are mammoth. They are like the size of your head. When they start spreading legs, she has to buy a new tank.
Spreading legs?
Yeah, when they start sprouting, she's like, any day now. I'm like, girl, you've got 6 months. These frogs are nowhere near.
I'd also like to point out that if they are released outside, the potential for environmental disaster in South Florida, where she lives, is very high.
What? I thought it was... I looked these up. There's no disaster for these leopard frogs.
No, I mean that they would be introduced into a habitat that they don't belong in.
Oh, I thought they weren't invasive. I thought they were perfectly... Well,
there's no such thing.
She has to
tell
keep
that
them.
To all the boa constrictors in the Everglades now, thanks to shitty herpetologists. And I don't mean herpetologists. Let's say amateur, negligent pieces of shit who think it's cool to own a snake.
Well, you know what? If fat
quote-unquote herpetologists...
If Fat Tits Finnegan releases these into the wild, she's a terrible person. You got to keep them. she said she needed a bigger... She said, like, oh, I might need a bigger tank. I sent her money. I was like, buy a bigger tank. But so... Another gift that I was troublesome was, well, you can buy a type of scorpion.
I want to point out, they're very good friends. Brandon and Fat
Tits. I mean, it's on and off. We don't really know.
It's a rumor
that we're good friends.
But there were threats.
Well, okay, first off, the one she doesn't know about that I canceled was a whiptail scorpion.
Oh.
And like the description for when you want to buy a whiptail scorpion.
I want to
Amazon.
Put a positive spin on that one, but I'm having a harder time.
Well, it's like the description is like educational. What fun. It's like,
oh,
okay. It's literally
there we go. Educational.
A small scorpion with like a 2-inch needle stinger. And it's a whiptail, so it whips at you. I'm like, oh, that would be amazing for her. She would love this.
Well, yeah.
But not really.
It'd be like training, you know, like she could up her skills of dodging.
But I got facing
her fears.
But I also bought
that. This is a pretty good gift too.
I also bought that around the same time I bought 2 massive, giant, Madagascar hissing cockroaches. And she messaged me without knowing that I had them. I bought them already, saying, "Brandon, if you send me hissing cockroaches, or just she said cockroaches in general. She's like, if you ever send me cockroaches, our friendship's over." And I was like, "Oh, well, Well, then, and
I've known people that kept those as pets because they're supposedly,
well, I'm okay,
like,
with them. They're cute.
Yeah.
And then I checked my shipping, and it's like, it's almost at, like, shipped. It's almost, that little line is going all the way down, but it stopped just short. And I contact, I go on the page, and I'm like, cancel order, and it goes to a blank screen. You can't cancel the order. And I'm contacting the seller. And then I call her up. I'm like, hey, so, funny story about those cockroaches. You may receive or not receive giant cockroaches tomorrow before 8 p.m. she's like, I fucking hate you. She's like, you're so glad I'm a, like, you're so lucky I'm a nice person, because I was gonna send you the worst fucking gift. I can't even tell you what it is because I don't want you sending it to me. And I was like, what was it? And I was trying to ask her, like, what was this gift you're gonna send me?
Also,
so
he was drunk.
Whatever. I was like, what is this gift? I want to know what it is. She's like, it costs $67, so it's too expensive. And I go, I just sent you $67 on a Cash App. Now you can send it to me. What is this horrible gift? She's like, you're a fucking moron. It was like crabs or something in like a box. Like, once you open it, you get crabs or some shit.
There's a website that actually sells crabs as in not delicious savory crabs from
Maryland.
Yeah,
like blue crabs, snow crabs.
Spiny.
Alaskan king crab. No, not any of those.
You're not going to get very many Alaskan king crabs for $67.
But they send you a vial of pubic lice and for you to do whatever you want with, but the idea is this: mostly it's a revenge website. So
they mail
you crabs, and then you sprinkle those crabs in someone's underwear drawer or in their bed or whatever, and then revenge is served.
Crab people.
How was I supposed to get crabs by opening a box? Did she like sprinkle them in a box?
I mean, she would have to have mailed them to herself and then
put them in a pair of neatly folded underwear in a box and sent them to me.
And sealed those underwear, yeah.
And then I would have opened a box and go, a nice pair of clean underwear sealed in a Ziploc bag. Yeah, I'm going to open that and wear it.
That's the plan.
And that's the story of why Brandon steams all of his undergarments nowadays.
I bleach them and then steam them, yes. But also because of the brown town going on.
The steamer's great, though. I mean, you can cook, you know, Chinese buns in there and...
Oh, why'd you have to say that?
You want to go get some?
Now I want some.
We can go get some after this is over.
And that was the story of my Hanukkah. So there you go. I guess that's...
Was that 8 days? Did you miss any?
I think I missed one. I think I was going to do one more, but by the time I figured I need to start canceling all these orders, I was like, I'm not. We'll try. I'll try again next year. I'll be a little more classy. I'll put a little more thought into it. She loves iguanas. We'll figure this out.
Well, that wouldn't be very hard to find down in South Florida.
No, you just go to a body of water, find a nice hot rock, and there will be iguanas. In fact, on my drive down to South Florida this past Christmas, I saw several iguanas just chilling by the side of I-95, because that's how dope it is down there.
Wow. Yep. I don't remember that many iguanas when I lived there. But
well,
have
this
they
is,
gone out
they've
of control?
Increased a lot. Yeah.
That's actually really cool. I kind of want to go visit again, but not really.
When South Florida becomes the aquapocalypse that we anticipate, well, that we know for a fact is going to be the case, it's going to be fascinating. I mean, very sad for me who likes it down there, but at least fascinating. It's going to be...
We'll have waterfront property in Orlando for a little bit.
Well, yeah. Yep. Bor, what you been up to?
Oh, man, after that, I don't have...
We don't got shit. I mean,
we don't have anything that can hold a candle.
Well, this
to
happened
that.
In like December. This happened like a month ago.
Yeah, nothing that happened to me in
all year.
That entire yeah, all year this year doesn't
Which
is equal
weird,
even
you
half
get out
of that.
Way more
thing.
Than I do.
Do I?
I think so.
I don't think I do.
Maybe not. I guess I'm dragged around a lot.
Yeah, you get dragged around.
I do.
So I have been watching The Good Place, which we have talked about before.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still probably one of the best shows that's airing currently. I still highly, highly recommend that. I don't want to give away anything, but season 2 took it to a new level.
Yeah, The Good Place is interesting because it's a sitcom, but it's a sitcom that has very heavy plot continuity to the point where you can't talk about it unless someone has watched it.
No, you can't.
There's reveals.
Yeah, there's things that happen that unless you know exactly where the other person is, you can't talk about. What's going on?
By the way, if you don't know what The Good Place is, it is the sequel to Veronica Mars. So check it out.
And recently I got caught up on Star Trek Discovery.
Yes.
For the longest time, I was stuck at like episode 4 or something like that.
Well, they had a hiatus at like 9 for like half the season, and then they came back a few months later for the rest of the season.
Yeah, and we're like at what, episode 11 or 12 or something?
I think we're at 11. I think there's 11? Two more to go right now. Well, a new one just came out yesterday. I haven't watched. Or
oh, it came out yesterday?
Day. I think so. I
thought it was a Sunday release.
I think it said there's a new episode out now.
I think it's a Sunday release.
Well, screw you.
But we can look into that.
But how do you feel about Takuvma?
I still hate that they shit all over the canon, particularly with the Klingons and the technology in general.
And yet they reference things from the original series in the new episodes. That happened.
Yeah.
Completely.
Yeah. It's like everything happened in a weird parallel reality or something.
So is this the third Star Trek continuity?
No.
Or is it in the film continuity?
I think it's just in the film continuity.
I mean, that's what I thought.
There's no way to know. But if you set that aside and you watch the show and say, to hell with everything else, I'm just going to focus on this show. And if it's good and if I enjoy it, how do you feel about the next half of this season? Because you were on the fence before.
I was on the fence.
Now that shit's getting real.
Would it be spoilers to talk about what's a little bit about what's going on?
Who cares? Just spoil it.
Well, here's the thing. Let me put this out there. I've only seen up to episode 4, but Discovery can be a pretty hard sell because really what you need to do is divorce yourself from expectations about it being a Star Trek show and just being a cool space show.
Yeah.
Well,
tell the people something that could be considered a spoiler but is going to maybe sell them on the show because it seems like what you're about to say is you like it a lot.
Yeah. So the thing that really got me is I had a lot of speculation before that maybe there were going to be like a Section 31 show.
Section 31 being the black ops secret of the Federation.
Yeah. I think I mentioned that quite a long time ago that was one of my theories about what was going to happen. That hasn't happened at all, and I don't think that they're going to do that anymore. But what they did do is they visited the Dark Mirror universe, and it's awesome.
As in mustaches?
There's no mustaches.
But as in the original Star Trek?
In the original series, there was mustaches. But they're revisiting the Terran Empire, and it's awesome.
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
So basically, the next half of the season just completely like that.
The funny thing is...
Completely?
Yeah. It's like... It feels to me
maybe.
Like...
We don't know.
Well, there's only two episodes left, as far as I know.
A lot can happen in an episode.
That's true, as we've discovered. The thing I love or hate with this show, I actually don't know about my emotions, is that they've basically taken Game of Thrones and Battlestar Galactica, the feelings from that, and just like amped it up. Like the show's moving really
fast.
Yeah,
it's a lot more dark and intense than any other Star Trek show ever.
Like a lot of the characters, like, what are they doing? What's happening? Are they
but
gone?
The funny thing to me is that I feel like the continuity in the Mirror Universe is more in line with the show than when they're in the regular universe.
Originally, I thought they were going to go to the Mirror Universe, and it was going to be the original universe, and they're in the Dark Universe.
Yeah, because everything we know about the Mirror Universe is actually like lining up perfectly from like Enterprise when they started the Terran Empire to later on
Deep Space Nine.
Yeah, like the original series and Deep Space Nine. Deep Space Nine, it's a completely different...
Like, they talk
thing,
about
but...
the Defiant winding up there and getting lost and everyone going mad and killing themselves. And I'm like, that happened in the original series. I vaguely remember they found, like, a recording from... Like, they found the Defiant and the recording of everyone, like, killing themselves from the original Star Trek.
Right.
And so it's in continuity with that when they found, like, the Mirror Universe.
And in Enterprise, they found the ship. They actually... The Dark Mirror Universe copies of the Enterprise crew found the Defiant.
And yeah, but it's keeping
me
on the edge of my
seat. There was
no
actual travel between the universes, I don't think. It was just like in Enterprise, it was just Dark Mirror, like what was going on with their other selves, which was interesting. And yeah, like I said, it actually lines up better than the Prime Universe stuff.
That's weird. Yeah.
But it's really good. I like it a lot now.
And I have no idea how
I still think the Orville's better.
You would. But I have no idea how the season's going to end. Because it's really like every time you think something's going somewhere, something happens to a character or a character does a 180 and you're like, what is happening in the show?
Well, hey, I've got some stuff about what I've been doing, but since we're talking about TV, check this out. I can tell you right now, as far as my bid for the most incredible show on television, it's Happy on Sci-Fi. That's Happy with an exclamation mark.
Is that the one where the girl has the emotions in her head and they have to fix her before she commits suicide?
Are you talking about the network that I've completely boycotted,
disavowed because of them killing dark matter.
Yeah,
and they can't even spell sci-fi
they,
right.
They just pump money into what is one of the most incredible things to ever happen on a major television.
They're
network.
Just going to cancel it next season.
It's one
that's
and done.
True. What do you it's one season, and that's it?
It's an 8-episode season.
Oh.
So here's the thing.
Well, that's the only way to get your show on sci-fi is get them to commit to that.
There has never been anything like this.
Ever?
Actually, ever. So Happy is a 4-issue comic book by Grant Morrison and Derek Robertson, and it came out several years ago. It's a story about an ex-cop who was really good at his job, whose life went to shit, and he became a hired killer. And then a little girl is kidnapped by a sinister Santa Claus, and her imaginary friend comes and haunts this like near-death cop and convinces him to try to help this little girl. So I read it when it came out and was like, wow, this is great. This should be a film. It was the story being 4 issues was compact enough. It could have been a movie. But then Sci-Fi is like, nope, it's a television series.
Well, series would have been better at this point than a movie, yeah.
But they've got, I mean, Hollywood never would have greenlit it. It's too weird. So they've done an amazing job adding more stuff to the plot, and it is crazy. This show is hard R, bordering on NC-17. I mean,
on sci-fi.
On sci-fi. I'm talking about extreme violence, F-bombs, nudity.
Oh, is the creator or writer Grant Morrison?
Yeah,
because he also made the show. Got it.
Yeah, he executive produced the show.
How do they get nudity and stuff in there? Do they just air it after midnight? And some sort of rules that they skirt around.
It's complicated. You're not seeing nipples. You're not seeing penis. But you're seeing some.
Oh, you will on Discovery, by the way.
I heard that is a thing. Yeah, which is fascinating. Television is such a weird place right now. but you'll see some extremely extreme stuff. I cannot spoil. But anyway, this story, Chris Maloney is the cop. This is Chris Maloney of Law and Order and Wet Hot American Summer. Law and Order. And so, you know, the chef who talks to the can is going to go funnel some sweaters.
Oh, okay.
Chris Maloney, he's looking like he's got the shit kicked out of him the whole time. He's incredible. He's grizzled. And Patton Oswalt is Happy, the
imaginary Patton
friend.
Oswalt's in it. Well, now I'm sold.
Sold.
Done.
But and also Patrick Fleischer, who's plays a character called Smoothie, who's in Twin Peaks and Mad Men, and
Smoothie.
he's one of those really twisted sort of people who works for the mob and tortures people. That kind of like character archetype. But the showrunner,
I did that for like 10 years. It's not a big deal.
It seems like a big deal for him. He's very intense about his work. The showrunner for the show is Brian Taylor, who's the guy behind Crank and Crank High Voltage.
Okay. I was just talking about Crank the other day and how I should watch it.
Seriously, like, this show is what Preacher the television show should have been. And I like Preacher the television show, but this television series is doing what Preacher does in the comics, on television.
And actually finishing it, not just like dragging it out.
Yeah, not dragging it out and actually doing it. Every episode, you never know what's going to happen. It's always crazy. There's always something that you're like, I cannot believe they did that. And it gets a lot weirder than just having an imaginary friend talking to you. There's some other metaphysical stuff. Well, not metaphysical, but there's some other stuff happening that is super strange. It is, and here's the thing, the way the show is written, the way all the pieces fit together is it's kind of like not exactly like reality vibe. It is cut from the same cloth as Dirk Gently's Holistic Detective Agency. It has the same kind of kinetic writing where everything's connected,
you know,
and things
funny,
move at a fast pace.
It's really clever that he decided to make this one season, because if he did it any longer, like Boris saying, it would have gotten canceled. So my show's only going to be one season, and they're going to give you a massive budget. If they know it's like one and done, they want to make it as good as possible. And that's it.
If they figure out a way to continue this, and I don't know if they have or haven't, I would be shocked. I don't think they can.
I don't want them to.
I don't want them to either.
If it's perfect and it ends, I like things that have a fucking ending.
But just to give you some perspective on like what to think about and like in terms of how the show is put together and the violence. Well, one, check out the trailer, because the trailer says a lot in terms of like showing you how batshit crazy this is. And it's Christmas themed. It's this weird, dark Christmas themed television series. Patton Oswalt calls Brian Taylor, the showrunner, R. Takashi Miike, as in like that really balls-to-the-wall, hyper-violent Japanese film director We did a whole microsode on him, I think last year or the year before that. We'll link to it on this episode's page. You have to check out Happy. I had some high expectations. They were exceeded by a really wide margin.
So it's on the Sci-Fi channel.
Mm-hmm, it's on Sci-Fi. Yeah.
So I'll find some way to not pay for that and watch it.
way to support fuck that good channel. Things. But you're right. They
can go
Dark
die.
They probably will someday.
Yeah.
I don't know what this means for them. I don't know. I mean, here's the thing about television networks. They change regimes all the time. And, you know, they'll be on board with the show and then they'll drop something. Who knows? But
they've burned me too many times at this point.
But yeah, Sci-Fi, this is the only thing I've ever seen on Sci-Fi that has any like proprietariness to them that I've ever thought, wow, this is incredible. And it's incredible by a huge margin. But they, I mean, I didn't follow Dark Matter, but then canceling Dark Matter was, you know, just on them being petty about ownership. And, anyway, I don't know that there's anything nice to say about the network, but them putting this show out and doing so much to, like, basically violate all standards of cable maybe speaks to a new regime change. I'm not sure.
Hmm.
I don't follow them that closely. Now, in terms of other shit going on, well, as of this episode's release, we will have just debuted the Consequence Podcast Network. If you've been following State of the Empire, you might already have a little bit of information on this. So, as you may know, I work for Consequence of Sound, the music, film, and television website, as their art director, but now I also run their podcast network, which is a brand new enterprise for them. They've been co-producing State of the Empire for the past couple years, our Star Wars speculation podcast, and then this past year had their own independent success with The Losers Club, a Stephen King podcast. And so they're like, you know what? Podcast the future. Cap, you've been working with us a long time. You already know what you're doing. So,
And you have plenty of free time. You don't do enough. Mm. Here's a whole other network.
Well, it's... we'll see things. I've been working my ass off, but there's an equilibrium to be achieved, and it's been a lot of fun assembling that, and also working with Consequence sort of enables us to make shows that wouldn't be really applicable to the Nerdy Show family of things. So State of the Empire, because it's a dedicated show about a specific pop culture niche, and Nerdy Show tends to have more, you know, we're either doing audio dramas or we're doing more broad subject things. State of the Empire's moved over there to Consequence fully. It's still produced here in-house with the same staff of people, myself and Doug and Matt. And then we're also looking at doing, there's some other stuff in the works involving Nerdy Show personalities that will also be on Consequence that wouldn't really have applied to Nerdy Show, which is neat. There's more to that, but I'll describe that later when we're gonna.
So when are we interviewing Katy Perry?
when are we interviewing
Katy Perry?
Brandon, pretend I'm Katy Perry. Interview me.
Hey girl, what's up?
Oh, not much. It's so nice to be here.
So, what you got in the works, lady? Mr. Perry, how are you doing today? This would, you know what? That would be my interview voice.
Mr. Perry?
How are the children?
She doesn't have kids.
How is Nugget?
And this is why Brandon doesn't get to go on interview.
How is Nugget? I hear he has his own Skyline. Airstream, I meant. Airstream trailer.
I mean, she'd probably like talking about her dog, Nugget. It's a dog, right?
Yeah, it's a dog.
Okay.
All right, this interview's over. I would prepare and have questions.
Okay.
Relevant questions. I can't improv an interview unless it's about a random subject that they're not familiar with.
The reason I asked
Talk about burritos.
I would genuinely love to see what would happen if you were interviewing Katy Perry, and I don't know what that would be like. So I want
an interesting thing about Katy Perry is that recently she posted a picture of her fingernails that had various cryptocurrency logos on them.
Of course,
and
you know that
one of them was Monero. My favorite one.
Oh, the price must have shot up after that.
I don't think it did.
I don't think you've said on the show lately. We talked about you launching your Monero mining enterprise, but how much has it made you lately?
I don't want to list any specific numbers, but I've got a small pile of them. And when I started out, it was, I think when I first talked about it, Monero was around $20, $25 maybe. Per coin, and now it's like 350, give or take, depending on what day it is.
And how many coins do you currently have when you had it at $25?
See, that's the part I'm not going to disclose, but it's
1,000.
I have a decent amount.
Nice.
It's worked out really well for him.
It's been very good.
What's the symbol from an arrow? Because I'm looking at her nails. Which one is it? Is it the one that's like a black diamond?
It's the one
diamond?
That's an M.
Oh, man. She has different nails then. Okay, never mind. She'd be changing that shit all the time.
Well, yeah, she's Katy Perry. That's what she does. Mm. For Consequence of Sound's annual report, that's like our year-end list, like top songs and best performer and stuff like that, I did a bunch of sticker-themed illustrations, and we actually recently launched a store at Consequence of Sound where you can get a limited edition run of my stickers as actual stickers. They were just graphic designs as stickers before. But might be of interest to you because there's a couple kind of nerdy things on there. There's a David Lynch and Mark Frost one. There's a specifically Twin Peaks The Return sticker. And there's one of composer Hans Zimmer shredding on the guitar, and it says his name in electricity.
Nice.
So, yeah, that's fun. I had fun doing those. And also, there was last year when I was in Chicago, I got on an episode of one of One Shot's streams. One Shot's the tabletop role playing and tabletop games in general podcast network. We played a game called New World Magiscola House Rivalry, which is a deck building game based around this magic school, like Harry Potter style LARPing thing, but they've turned it into this really fun deck building game. And a weird thing happened where they're like, hey, thanks so much for playtesting this game, because it wasn't out yet. They were like launching a Kickstarter or something. We want to do a card with you on it, like all the podcasters who were on there. So now I'm on a card in this card game.
Huh.
And we'll link to where you can see this, the art of me as a
what color is
podcast
your hair?
Witch.
That's very important.
It's like kind of like pink and orange in the image.
All right, it's doable.
My blue glasses aren't there, but hey, it was still a lot of fun. Whatever. And well, Brandon, a while back, you told a lie on the show. You were telling us about a bird that starts fires, and it was responsible for the...
Was it a lie, though? Was it a lie?
That's
think
the thing.
Back to that I can't even remember. Was it a lie?
I don't remember what episode that was.
Tell me what I said, and then I'll tell you if it was a lie.
You said that there was a specific kind of bird that was responsible for starting the California wildfires. And I was like, wow, that sounds like a Pokemon.
This is like over a year ago. It was called like Phyrexia or something.
Yeah. So then
that was a fun lie.
Then I saw an article that said Australian birds steal fire to smoke out prey, and basically has all these Aboriginal accounts of actual birds stealing fires from places where they're controlled and then starting them elsewhere, or finding a forest fire and being like, shit, I want to do that elsewhere, and then like flying it across. If a forest fire stops at a river, they'll get some embers and start it on the other side of the river because did you read this article?
No.
Okay. So here's the information. These birds are called fire foragers. It's a general purpose name for a couple different things, or fire hawks.
Ooh, that's good.
Black,
that's a good one.
Black kites, whistling kites, and brown falcons. This is in Australia, specifically where this is happening. So
Australian fire hawks reportedly using flaming sticks to start fires.
Yes, Brandon, your lie was true. You were just
on
the wrong continent.
No, they're legitimately, they are really cool looking hawks. They're not huge, but man.
Here's a first-hand account. I have seen a hawk pick up a smoldering stick in its jaws and drop it in a fresh pile of dry patch of dry grass half a mile away, then wait with its mates for the mad exodus of scorched and frightened rodents and reptiles. When that area was burnt out, the process was repeated elsewhere.
Wow.
Wow, yeah. Huh. And I think there's more than one and, type of bird doing
and
it.
And it's actually a marketing campaign for the Pontiac Firebird.
They're evolving, yeah. There's multiple...
There's going to be a comeback, so they trained a bunch of birds.
There are multiple species of birds. There's one. Oh wow, yeah. There's a falcon. There's a hawk.
Is that going to be a featured vehicle inside the new Not a Real Film Crocodile Dundee remake?
Oh, probably.
God, let's not talk about that piece of shit. You know what? This is what the firefighters in California. They've been looking in the wrong places.
Mm-hmm.
It's not climate change. It's fucking birds. Someone just has a bonfire and a bird just picks up a little piece of ember.
Or this is the bird.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Birds protesting the climate change that it's really fucking with their migrations.
Or maybe they're helping people because they see fires everywhere and they're like, oh, people love fire. Let's make more fire. Yay. That's how birds work.
I'm helping.
Oh, man.
This is amazing. They did this study with interviewing different people and some like researcher observations and so on to try to figure out like, you know, how to control fires in Australia when they're started by avian arsonists. Yeah.
You know, it's funny. You tell enough lies. Then once in a while, turns out you discovered something before anyone else on the fucking planet.
Well,
you heard it here first on Nerdy Show.
Or you heard it in the autobiography, I, the Aboriginal, in 1962 book. That was one of the earliest accounts of
it. Oh, wait, did they actually? They
referenced many historical documents from Aboriginals who'd been observing this for a very, very long time. But white people didn't know about it because white people, they don't.
Well, I'm going to take one of those ancestry DNA tests and
see if you're Aboriginal.
Yep. See if I got the blood. The blood's in me. I hope. I hope I've got anything in me.
We got another cool piece of sci-tech. Japanese scientists have used AI to read minds.
Oh, I thought it was going to be another porn thing.
Well, I mean, it could
They're
be.
Really good at that.
If it's your mind.
How does that work? Do they hook you up to a computer and then the AI can read your brainwaves, or what are we talking about here?
It's like that thing you buy in Toys R Us, you put it on your head, and
Are they just really good at predicting things?
It's a learned behavioral thing, sort of. Like, they had people do a bunch of sittings over 10 months. Three subjects were shown natural images, like bird photography or a person, and as well as artificial geometric shapes and alphabet letters and so on.
I think Brandon went through something like that where they were measuring his level of arousal with various bird imagery.
I mean, I'll just tell them. They don't need to measure
That was court ordered, and we're really not supposed to talk about
it. I measure it all the time.
But
so it's not like they're reading your mind. It's like they're getting to know you so well that they can predict what you're thinking about.
Well, yeah, but it creates sort of a map. Sort of. So, but here's the thing. So they measured the areas while the subjects were looking at the image, and then also while the subject were asked to think about the images that they had been shown before, and that allowed the computer to develop this neural net that allowed it to piece together what people were thinking about, like, much after the fact. And we'll link to an article where you can see these images, which are extremely rough, but there's something happening here that shows that at the very least, if the individual's brain is able to be mapped throughout their day, and that there's some kind of computer correspondence, that information can be used for some kind of technological interface. And there's a lot of big implications of this, like stuff that's been in science fiction for a very long time, such as being able to draw pictures or make art by imagining something, recording visual references for people's dreams, maybe mapping hallucinations of psychiatric patients, and brain-machine interfaces.
This is a
breakthrough that has... They've done similar things in the past with, like, more rudimentary stuff, but the difference here is that those are usually using sort of pixel data, but these neural networks use a hierarchical structure, which has, you know, multiple layers of color and so on. It's how the brain itself works, how our brain works, and so using a neural net, it creates a more natural one-to-one recall on that information.
It's weird.
But does it make a total recall?
We're working for the total recall.
These images are weird. I'm looking at, like, there's images you're shown, and then, like, the computer reconstructs what you're thinking of. I don't know that I ever see things this way, but it's really, some of them are creepy.
Most of them are creepy? It's odd. Yeah. It's an odd thing.
I dare it to try to figure out what I'm thinking. I dare you, Japan. You come over here and you do that shit on me, and you see if your machine still works. You see if your little AI works on me.
Smoke starts coming out, and then it like grows legs, and then eats a human being.
I would just make fake machine to read Brandon's mind. That all it was a computer program that randomly displayed either boobs or a bird.
I do not think about boobs as much as I think about butts. Thank you. Okay, your machine would fail.
Well, version 2.0 would integrate that.
I'll integrate you.
Before I'm looking at our show notes, you wrote down Dragon Ball FighterZ.
Yeah.
What's the deal with that?
Is it FighterZ or Fighters?
We don't talk about Dragon Ball like ever.
Fighters. Why don't we talk about Dragon Ball ever?
Because that was so.
It's
like,
a brand
last
new
century.
Fighting video game. We talk about video games.
We right? do, but I mean, tell me about why. What's so significant? I've heard people over the years say very nice things about Dragon Ball fighting games. I've never played any. What makes this so special?
So this one, have you seen any of the visuals from this game, like a trailer or gameplay?
What's this one
or
called?
Anything?
Dragon Ball FighterZ?
FighterZ,
yeah.
I swear they already used that name, but okay.
I'm looking it up.
But this game, the visuals in it look better than the anime.
Oh, so it looks like you're playing a show, like an animation.
Yeah, everything
really
is fully
good.
3D.
Jesus Christ,
but,
yeah.
But it's just crazy how well everything just flows together in
is
and,
the game
and it
still,
looks like you're playing the cartoon it's,
is the game
really
still
great.
Played because I haven't played it in a while where it's still like a 3D area you can run around or is it just like
no it's a 2D you're just on a 2D plane
Marvel
fighting.
Versus Capcom
because okay. mm-hmm.
the old games that I really loved you could go in like a 3D environment and try to kill each other it was really fun there was at least one or two games that
but
I liked
it's got a full roster of characters from Dragon Ball Super and it so far it's really fun. I mean, I only bought it yesterday, and I've been playing it a lot.
Is Chiaosu in it?
Chiaosu is in it.
Is Popo in it? I want to be Popo.
You can't fight as Chiaosu, and I haven't seen Mr. Popo at all.
That's probably for a good reason.
But if you've been paying attention to what's been going on in Dragon Ball, Kami isn't really alive anymore.
You mean God?
Piccolo got like kind of absorbed Kami.
Yo, okay, so
that shit's weird.
I have not paid attention to Dragon Ball in a very, very, I'm talking about the 1990s long time.
Do you even know who Boo is? Who's your Boo?
I don't know that I know that.
Boo was around in the 90s.
Yeah, that sounds familiar.
It was the very last season of
Majin
the original
Boo,
show.
Pink,
well,
pink
not
guy?
The original. He looked like a piece of chewing gum. Here he is.
Yes,
well, there
yes.
were like,
I do
to be fair,
him.
There's three different ones, but yeah, he looks like a piece of chewing gum.
But I'm looking at this Dragon Ball Super image. Who are these cool purple rabbits?
And cat you people. Might be talking about Beerus, who is he's some sort of a god. I think he's like god of destruction or something like
he's
that.
He's a purple rabbit.
I'm not all caught up on Dragon Ball Super. I've only seen like the movies.
Are these new series or retellings of old series?
It's Dragon just Ball
a,
Super?
They're it, just
it's,
continuations?
It's a continuation, yeah.
Oh, it's cute. It's, still, didn't he
it's
have,
actually
like,
really good.
Isn't he like 100?
From what I saw, I saw some of the earlier episodes and like I said, a couple of the movies. But it's really good. I need to get caught up on it.
Oh, there's a white rabbit. There's a purple rabbit. They got all sorts of rabbits. Shit. Sorry.
Rabbits?
Yeah, man. Look, there's a giant rabbit, but like an, it looks like Egyptian for some reason.
In the game?
Just in the show.
Oh, okay.
I just searched there's... Dragon Ball rabbits. There's like two different types of
why,
rabbits.
Why did you search for Dragon Ball rabbits?
Because there's two or three different types of rabbits. They're actual characters in the show. I'm not making this up. I don't know what they are. I haven't seen this.
I don't know what this... Okay, so...
The last time I watched Dragon Ball Z, Vegeta and Goku fused together to fight someone with jelly beans or something.
So you saw the 12th movie.
I guess.
Where they fought against Janimba, and they were in the afterlife when that happened.
It's my favorite board game, Janimba.
Janimba!
I also searched Dragon Ball rabbits and I found an image of Daffy Duck and Bugs Bunny wearing what looks like Egyptian garb.
I see that too, yeah.
It says Dragon Ball 2 Xenoverse.
Yeah, see? Yeah, that's a...
Or huh. Dragon Ball Xenoverse 2.
God of Destruction, Bug Bunny. it's not Bugs Bunny, it's Bug Bunny.
Bug Bunny.
Bug Bunny.
What is this?
Oh, man. Okay, but is the game fun?
If you like fighting games, yes.
If I hate Street Fighter and I'm bored with Soul Calibur at this point.
You might not like it. No. If you don't like 2D...
I like shooting laser beams out of my hands.
You can do that. It's actually
I know
not,
I can do that.
It's actually not a super technically complicated fighting game,
well,
I guess.
The Super Nintendo one, you could do different strength moves, and then you could like deflect them if you knew how to do that at the right
time. Yeah,
you
time. Can do that.
Oh, that's all I care about.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fun. Yeah. Just want to shoot laser beams back and forth.
Now, my only complaint with the game is there's way too many loading screens.
Or that it's like $60.
Well, that is a... In this day and age, that's a heck of a complaint.
I don't have time for loading screens anymore. I'm over that shit.
Yeah, if they got rid of the loading screens, it would be probably a perfect game.
What are you playing on your? Obviously, you're playing on your PC.
No, I actually bought it for PS4.
Well, maybe that's why you got the loading screens. You got like a computer with 8 graphics cards, and you're playing on a PS4.
Yeah.
All right. I guess.
Yeah, why not?
Because you've got like 8 graphics cards.
I don't know. Fighting games just, they work really well on consoles. So, you know, if I'm going to have anything on console, it's probably going to be a fighting
game. Just because of the controller.
Game.
I mean, you have a gamepad.
Yeah.
All right. To but each his not, own.
But I mean, fighting games are something that you want to play with other people too. So if somebody's over at your house, you don't want to be like, hey, come over and let's crowd around my computer. You know, instead, I'd rather just have it on
my TV. Oh, can you play two and on like two on a couch? Couch co-op.
Yes.
It's a fighting game.
Yeah, it's a fighting game.
I mean, a lot of games don't do couch co-op anymore.
Well,
it's
not
really
fighting
annoying.
Games?
It's not co-op.
I've never
to
seen
To be
one.
Fair, I haven't. Well, it's not co-op, but yeah. to be fair, well, Diablo 3 was couch co-op, and that's really fun, but. Still.
Oh, we should play that.
Oh, I've got big news. Big news, everyone.
What?
Rumors coming out of Blizzard.
Yeah?
Diablo
what
4.
What else is new?
Diablo 4, because I love Diablo. Diablo 4.
Diablo Quattro?
Diablo Quattro, possibly in 2020 or 2021.
That's too far away. I can't
isometric,
even think that far ahead.
It is a, and this is rumors, but it's from someone in Blizzard, so maybe false, maybe true. It is an MMORPG,
oh,
top-down
no.
isometric view.
What? So they're making...
That is... I want the
It sounds
top-down...
like they're making Ultima Online
I don't
with
care.
Diablo skins.
Can you...
I mean,
okay,
hold on. I mean,
can you imagine Diablo 3 as an MMO?
Shouldn't someone at this point...
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of want
and yes,
this.
I can't
you
imagine
You know how
it.
Fun Diablo 3 is, just playing
yeah.
with someone.
Yeah.
That, but like in a huge open MMO world. Not linear.
I do.
I yeah,
With levels
I do
and skills.
Want. I don't
yeah.
like MMOs, but that sounds like... A good
like
plan.
Fun. It sounds fun. Like
I don't
to...
know. Would it really be an MMO though, or are you just going to be
it's
joining
being...
servers where other people are going to be also? Exploring?
No, it's being called an MMO, so I assume it's massively multiplayer. They can't call an MMO if it's just like a server with 10 or 20.
I guess
people.
Here's the thing: if Diablo is in a setting where it is legitimately an open world of interconnected spaces and all these different biomes and settings and dungeons and all that are connected. And there's people joining parties online and going through those dungeons, doing dungeon crawls.
That would be so cool.
That's an MMO.
And if you've played 1 through 3, you know
yeah.
a lot of the areas in Sanctuary and all the cool stuff.
I can just see PvP being a real stupid thing.
You know they're
going to
separate
like...
the servers, PvP and PvE. You know they're going to separate
hope.
Those. And then I'm going to stupidly create a character in a PvP server and just get ganked in like a minute.
Yep.
Yeah. But not if I got my ice sorcerer with that like ice ball. Whatever it's called, I forgot.
That's just,
frozen
that,
orb.
That's too long to wait, though. Like that news is way too early.
Well, they have to remake all of StarCraft 1
that's
and 2
why
again.
It's a rumor.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
that is irresponsibly early. Yes.
The theory and conjecture about that is because they are slowly giving World of Warcraft. They could put it out sooner, but they said they're letting World of Warcraft die down. That, not my words.
Huh.
So they said it's going to take 2 or 3 years. They're going to slowly let that.
Even though there's a new expansion that's coming, like
does
very
it?
Soon.
There's they're always gonna make new expansions. There's money in expansions, but they're gonna work on another world while that's happening. It's gonna slowly die down. Plus, they have to remake all the StarCrafts
would,
over again.
Honestly, I would rather have a Diablo MMO than a StarCraft MMO because there was a rumor for a while that they were gonna make World of StarCraft.
I don't want to start. I
that's
don't like StarCraft.
Such a terrible idea.
Yeah, it would have been terrible.
I mean, StarCraft is a real time strategy game. That's its appeal.
Yeah.
Making an MMO would not be fun.
Yeah, and I mean, I know they've done a lot of story stuff in World of Warcraft, but StarCraft's story, I feel like with the world hopping, it just doesn't lend. No one's built that yet, and there's so many better space MMO things happening right now.
Yeah,
and you know
they
what?
Can't hope
yeah.
to compete with
and
that.
Everyone has like open world games and MMOs, but like I don't have a good isometric. Fixed camera angle top down MMO because they don't exist anymore. And I like if they can pull that off, it sounds in my head really fun. Maybe it's a terrible idea, but I want it. Rumors right now. We got 3 years. Well, so one of us may be dead in 3 years. We'll see.
now
a good
just,
chance one
now
of us
you've
in
just
this
cursed us.
There's a good chance that someone in this room will be dead before 2021.
There's not
Boar,
I mean, it's not a great chance
with your aspartame what? Soda. It's gonna be. I'm sure it's gonna be me.
Place your bets, folks. But hey, in the meantime, don't before you. Well, actually, I have a better idea of where that money can go because this program and all the programs on the Nerdy Show Network are entirely listener supported. Well, entirely is a strong word that I will describe that statement momentarily. But there's a number of ways to support us. The most important and what will probably always be the most important among which is Patreon. If you go to patreon.com/nerdyshow, you can join up with us there and access a number of extremely awesome perks, including a huge backlog of behind-the-scenes material and extra episodes and bonus content. We've had quite a bit of bonus content lately, including some stuff from Flame On. early releases for just as cheap as a dollar. We have a new patron, Brian Pemberton. Welcome to the fold, dude. It's a pleasure to have you. And also, we have a one-time donation. You can give us one-time donations at nerdyshow.com/support. It's from Kutsushita, who gave us $50 and said, "Hope you all had a lovely Christmas."
It was terrible. We were all sick, but thank you.
I didn't mean to sound like a dick.
I'm just like,
I wasn't sick. Yeah, I was just
I'm on my fourth time being sick since like December. Because I work with a bunch of D-bags.
Brandon was all sick.
What? I'm still sick.
A lot of people did get sick, but I completely avoided it so far.
You don't work around 1,000 people and see 1,000 people a day.
That's true. You know? I don't.
So here's the thing about Patreon. It is the way that we know that we have a set amount of money to make sure that all of our operations keep happening, that we're able to pay the other shows in the Nerdy Show Network, and so on and so forth. It's a money that we can generally rely on, but it does ebb and flow, as does everyone's ability to say, you know, subscribe to us for a month. You know, no matter how much you're giving, even a little bit helps, but it all adds up, and that's how we have an idea of how survivable doing this network is. It's like, we've been doing this for 9 years now, and
have you? It's almost a decade.
Yeah, 2009. So in 2019, that'll be 10 years.
Wow. Okay.
So yeah, it's been a while, and the only way that we're able to keep doing this, or we're able to do this at all, is via Patreon support. Now, we made it to getting $1,000 a month late last year. Late 2016 and then early in 2017, but it dipped a bit, and that's understandable. We had some people giving us a lot of money at once, but right now we're at $623, which is good, but that means we're not able to provide stipends for the other shows on the network now, because 700 was the goal for us being able to afford that.
No Christmas bonuses this year, my lord.
I'm sorry, that's what happened. It was a tough year, and on top of that, you know, Patreon decided to kick off the holiday season by screwing over everybody with a thing that they've since reversed. The jury's still out on what they're going to do to solve the problems they were attempting to fix with that thing, but
wasn't that like they get a cut of what you get or something weird?
Among
other things.
It's really not it, but it's actually really complicated and not important anymore. So we won't focus on that. But if there's ever a better platform, naturally we'll move over from Patreon to something else. But right now it is the best we've got for holding the line. But let's talk about some other stuff.
Well, I was gonna say, I mean, if you're tight on cash, you're having a bad day, you're having a bad month, you're having a bad life, but you know you're gonna buy some shit on Amazon.
True.
That is a way to not give us any money directly, any extra money. If you just buy things on Amazon through our link, we get a cut of that. You don't actually have to give anything extra. I'm not saying don't do Patreon, but if you really can't, I mean, just buy, and you're buying things on Amazon
true.
If you're listening to this episode, that means you've gotten to like the end of the episode. You've listened to the entire episode.
And you can buy anything from snacks to masturbatory items.
Yeah, go buy dildos. It's anonymous. We don't know what you use it for. We don't care what you use it for. You can buy live insects and send it to a friend, buy some crabs.
Right. Oh, Brandon, did you use Nerdy Show links for sending
that? God damn it. No, I didn't.
What?
Shit.
What? You need to change the bookmarks on your computer.
It was only a couple hundred. You're right. I need to change my bookmarks.
Only a couple hundred? We could have made mad bank.
Well, don't be a Brandon. Use the Nerdy Show link.
At nerdyshow.com/Amazon. We do actually have some folks who wrote in and told... See, we don't know what you buy exactly. We don't know who buys what. We actually see a list of the sort of things people are buying. So Amazon tells us so we can see what sort of successes we're having as Amazon affiliates. But sometimes people write in and tell us what they bought or what they buy.
Well, I got a couple of things here. Dizdon, a.k.a. Jeffrey McSorley Jr. I have never made that connection in my head. I had no idea that that was the same person. So that's a revelation right there. But he writes, okay, so not only did I buy all my Christmas gifts using your Amazon, but I just pre-ordered The Last Jedi novelization for my wife. So, hoping you get at least a fiver from hundreds of dollars I just spent on Christmas on Amazon using your links. Thank you, Dizdon, a.k.a. Jeffrey McSorley.
Fun fact about that novelization, it contains a bunch of shit that was cut out of that movie.
Oh, so it might be good. Gooder.
It might be gooder.
All right.
It might be gooder.
The thing is, he didn't have to go out of his way to spend anything extra he wasn't already going to spend, and he supported us, and that was a great thing. Don't be a Brandon. Can we change the icon for like our Amazon link to just me shrugging, and it says "Don't be a Brandon"? Click here.
I'm for that.
We'll set up a screen. I'll pose in front of it. We'll make it all fancy. We'll do it.
And then Cerebral Paladin writes, "Good day, Nerdy Show. I was on Amazon this year, We ordered a bunch of items both before and after the holidays, but I figured I'd share some of the nerdy highlights. Here's hoping my holiday spending helps keep the lights on in the studio. And there's just a list of stuff here. You got a Nerdy Show logo t-shirt and a card game and some DVDs and some Blu-rays and stuff and a bunch of stuff.
Rat Queens Volume 4. That's a good comic book right there.
Got a bunch of cool stuff.
Thanks to Rebel Paladin.
Big old list of stuff here. Not going to read it all.
Now,
it's a paragraph.
Dizdon is a Patreon supporter as well. And speaking of paragraphs, well, at $10 or more, that means you get to have us talk about what you, well, whatever. It's a shout out tier. We will say what you want us to say.
And you know what? Honestly,
within reason.
We should
qualify that.
You're getting a deal. Because $10 or more, we usually go on a rant or we say it a lot or we do it in funny voices. And sometimes, even not even much more than that, some people get microsodes, and they're supposed to be 15 minutes, but sometimes we go on for hours. Because we like to give you...
I don't think we do that anymore.
Bang for your buck. We like to give you buck bangs.
Buck bangs.
Buck bangs for your bang.
Well, hey, Brandon, why don't you do Dizdon a solid and recall his shout-out from memory?
Oh, God. Well, you know how great my memory is with my tumors. Sick of all those old shirts at home? Want a shirt with a Pikathor?
You did it!
You're off to a good start.
I actually meant to say Pikathor.
Recycle those old shirts and go buy the new ones at nerdyshow.com/store.
Support them, buy the shirts, get rid of your old ones, donate it, give it to charity. Not that bad charity that keeps all your stuff and your money, but the good one down the street that you know what I'm talking about. They give the shirts to the kids.
I do remember that part. You're doing this really well, buddy.
Well, that's about all I got. Thank you. You're welcome.
That was close enough. Thank you, Brandon.
Sometimes I have a paper in front of me. If that paper's been on this table for like a year, and now it's gone.
We were going to give you the paper, but I reminded Cap that it's much more fun to tell you to loosely recall.
Yeah, see, not everybody.
He's not getting
his
money's worth now.
Oh, I'm sure he's getting his money's worth for that wonderful dissertation on shirts. Mm.
I swear there was more to it, but I can't quite recall.
Dizdon is the only person who's ever done a reoccurring shout out. And so everyone's heard it the same way a lot of times. So Brandon spiced it up.
As soon as I go home, it leaves my brain. I don't remember it. And until you bring it up, and then I'm like, shit, what did he say?
Now, one way you can support us that doesn't involve money at all is rating and reviewing us on iTunes. iTunes is still the number one place people get podcasts. And if we get more ratings and reviews, then we get pumped up. We get put in the top of those charts. If we build up heat, then maybe people take notice more from Nerdy Show. Hey, the more people listening means the more people donating. The more people supporting means the more hosts we can hire and do other crazy things. The bigger Nerdy Show can grow. And the more we don't have to do day jobs to take us away from having a fun time with you.
You hire hosts.
Well, one of our Patreon goals is to
pay
Doug so he can quit his job and just edit shit for Nerdy Show all day long.
That sounds great.
That's a sweet deal. He only wants $1,000 a month, but that means we have to get to $2,000 on Patreon, and we're a ways away from that right now. There was a time where we had a crazy gleam in our eye. We're like, maybe it's going to happen, but not.
You just got to start marketing to the people you aren't reaching. You got to have clever marketing. Who are the people that aren't listening to this? Who are the non-nerds? You need to pull them in.
Oh, you're
right.
You
need to show them why this show is important.
We should do. We should just do a show about homeowners organizations and then just call it a day.
Do it. Why not? What do you got to lose?
Podcasts for grandparents.
We've already got half of a podcast about like organic foods and like foods with aspartame.
I don't really like that segment.
You know what? That's why it's not for you. You're not the base for that show. It's for the other people
have. Okay, well, Brandon's going to launch this show for non-nerds on Nerdy Show to donate to the Nerdy Show Patreon. This is a terrible plan.
Let's talk about Manuka honey.
What?
$40, for a little jar. Comes straight from New Zealand. Only one type of bee makes it. Cures cancer. Little known fact, you can shove it in a wound, heal that bad boy.
I'm not
and
shoving anything that you recommend into a wound.
It'll sanitize your wound. You shove some of that honey in there, sanitize you right up.
Brandon, let me tell you a weird story. Okay, so when I was born, the doctors looked at my erectile tissue and said, hey, you know what we should do to this baby? We should chop some parts off of that. Can this regrow what I believe is called the foreskin? Can I get that back?
Yes. Manuka honey will harden and crystallize around your pee-pee, thus creating a new foreskin.
Wow.
Just don't put it near ants.
It'll actually
ants
make it into a five skin.
It'll make it into a five
skin. Cool.
Anyway.
That's an upgrade.
Yeah, play banjo on it.
Where are we talking? Man, I can go on for hours about Manuka honey. Don't even get me on the shipping cost because it's from Australia. Well, sorry, New Zealand.
New Zealand.
Come on, I mean, it's not even a real country, but come on.
Always wanted to stick your willy in a honey pot, eh?
So if this
is Australian or what is that?
I don't know.
That was like Scottish.
It was something.
it was terrible.
You want to stick it in a willy, eh? Stick your manuka honey.
I don't even
in a
know
wheelie.
Who that was.
I
think that was
like,
a drive-by.
You were like Scotty.
It wasn't me. It was somebody else.
You should. it's a drive-by shouting.
A stranger just came in here. You should rate and review us on iTunes because of the prevalence of iTunes. However, we do have an alternative that is easier to sign up for and way cooler. It's called Podchaser. It's currently in open beta, and you can not only rate and review series, but you can also rate and review specific episodes and add tags so people can find it. It's going to be the IMDb of podcasts, and there's already a ton of data
Whoa.
On there.
Well, it's a big claim.
I happen to know that one of the initial major investors in IMDb also invested in Podchaser.
Should I be buying stocks?
You can't yet.
Is this an insider tip? When's it going public? Do you know?
Maybe like 5 years? I don't
just tell me behind the scenes.
That's insider trading. We're not doing that.
Yeah, but if they don't know,
Podchaser are really cool people. I like them a lot. I like what they're doing. And if you do a rating and review on either platform, we will read it, such as this one from Gal Dap Jr. Remember Gal Dap Jr.?
No.
No.
I remember Gal Dap.
Mopkins.
Oh, yeah.
Formerly known as FKA. I've been a fan of the podcast for 7 years, and it has never not delivered.
And now I'm an adult.
Yeah, that's true.
I was 5 when I started.
He was real young when he was listening to us. It was inappropriate, but but a very nice young person. It has never not delivered on its promise of nerdy news and entertainment. The hosts are all wonderful and hilarious people. They work hard to make sure with what they release is awesome quality content, from discussing the latest science to immersing you in the fantastical adventures of Dungeons and Doritos.
I mean, I'm flattered, but I'm pretty sure there's been times when we haven't delivered. And Boar's just messing with a mic right now. He's not delivering.
Yeah, I'm not delivering anything. I'm surprised nobody said, and Boar always brings the greatest new flavors of Mountain Dew to rant about or rave.
The most interesting part. Yeah. What do you got today? Mountain Dew Ice? What the fuck is
but,
that? It's a new flavor.
On the subject of Podchaser, we definitely need more people going on there and rating stuff, because we used to, when Podchaser first came out, we had a mad wave of people going in there and rating our stuff, and we got really high on the list, and now we're dropping down. Come on, help us out
significantly.
Rate some stuff.
And also I should point out, Podchaser, because you can rate specific episodes, it allows you to kind of compile like a greatest hit selection. Like, it'll show you what's been rated the most and all that, which is really cool. We love having this like kind of listener populated best episodes thing. But here's our number one rated episode of Nerdy Show.
Oh no.
It's called American Nerds, and it's only there. It has a picture of Brandon in some Japanese clothing on the front doing a horse dance.
I don't remember.
I'm not on the episode, and that's not an issue.
Oh,
for
wait,
me.
No. That was in my weekend birthday vacation in a hotel room with a little spa in there. So someone bought me a little Japanese like man kimono, whatever it's called.
Yeah, and then we talked about American Gods, and I photoshopped you into the logo. It was good.
Yeah, you weren't even around. That's the best episode.
I was not.
But
here's the thing.
You.
That is the number one episode, because that is around when we started promoting Podchaser. So that is not necessarily the number one episode of Nerdy Show people should listen to. What do you think it is? Should it be episode 300, where we just did a bunch of insane stuff? Not a particularly popular episode. It's a kind of divisive episode. The ratings were really low initially.
I can tell you,
back up.
I'm not sure I like episode 300 at all.
But episode
200 was way better.
200 was our oral history of video games episode.
And everyone likes oral.
Where we interviewed like Weird Al Yankovic and Chris Carter from The X-Files.
And then we had a voice acting episode where we interviewed different voice actors. Didn't we?
We had, yes. Yeah, it was a two-part.
Didn't
we talked to Steve Bloom.
Oh my God, that guy's voice. I'd marry his voice if it was legal. Not him, just his voice.
So you should hop in there and find your favorite episodes and throw some stars up on it. You can, and you don't have to search through the log. You can type in the name of it and it will show up, which is very handy, handier than iTunes. Anyway, you may remember that like several minutes ago at this point, I said entirely was a strong word as far as entirely listener supported. There are some big changes coming. They probably haven't happened by the time this episode is debuting, but happening soon afterwards.
Were we selling out finally?
Finally!
Wait, I'm excited. Can we sell it to some corporation?
No, it's not like that. But here's what happened.
Back to
so
my day job.
We've been hosted on SoundCloud for a long time. But as you probably know, SoundCloud has been on the brink of bankruptcy multiple times over the past several years, which has made us very nervous. And on top of that, because they have to reprioritize, I think they're a great platform, by the way. I think they're a great platform. But because they have to prioritize the things that are going to make them money, they have not been doing anything to support podcasts being distributed through their platform anymore. iTunes has unveiled a number of, or Apple Podcasts has unveiled a number of features, which we can't take advantage of because all of our shows are hosted there. We need some kind of next level podcast hosting platform, most of which are, especially when you're a network of shows produced independently and not by some major corporation, extremely expensive. But fortunately, we got an email one day, serendipitously, I might add, because the Fates smile on Nerdy Show. We got an email from a group called Cabana, which is part of a larger group called Ad Large Media. And they said, hey, are you interested in advertising on your shows? And I was like, well, you know, that's not really a priority for us. But like, but what about getting your shows on the platform Megaphone? That's the same platform that's used by Gimlet Media and 2UP Productions, two very prevalent fancy pants podcast like outlets. And I'd looked at them before and said, that's too expensive for us and nothing. So Nerdy Show has been extended a wonderful opportunity to be we're on the Megaphone platform and also under the guiding arm of Cabana and Ad Large Media, which means that we will be able to advertise on Nerdy Show. And I know what you're thinking. You don't want to hear ads. That's fine. I don't want to do ads normally anyway. I want to have fun. I don't want random things that that don't have our voices on it to be played. But in the near future, we are going to have ad insertions only of companies that we have approved and only read by our hosts.
I only approve bird companies and penis enlargement pills and pharmaceuticals because they pay a lot. All the pharmaceuticals.
I've already said that the network's not going to do
pharmaceuticals
ads.
For birds.
Oh, that's different.
And penis enlargement.
What about nutraceuticals? Because
yeah, you wanna market some nutraceuticals, like some
only
vitamins?
Only our own in-house
or
our nutraceuticals.
What about holistic yoga phytonutrients?
Am I to understand we're not going to sell vitamins anymore? What about Dilk?
There's never going to come a day where it's not important to sell dog milk. We all know this.
I mean, dogs produce milk. Why are you not taking advantage of them?
Well,
most
importantly, dogs produce milk that has been untainted by the highly corrupt dairy industry. And
I wouldn't go that far. I mean, dogs have been bred so much. They were all wolves at one point.
Dog milk is 100% pure. You don't know what's coming out from a cow these days. It's 21st century. They're chock full of nanomachines, and you can't trust it. So you need to get pure male dog milk. Dilk is the future.
I like cat milk. I like Kilk. I'm sorry. I think Kilk is better than Dilk.
Let the milk wars begin. But one way or another, you're going to be healthy.
I don't know, but I'm a little lactose intolerant, so.
Well, that's why you need to eat vitamins. It helps.
Vitamins?
Yeah, vitamins.
Dilk is actually 100% lactose free.
It's bullshit. It's free a cow.
Anyway, so there will be ads in the future. They're going to be automatically inserted. We get to choose the in and out points, like where there's a conversation break. Stick in out points, and it sticks in whatever relevant advertising has been, you know, brokered. But we only want to do stuff that we think we can tell fun jokes with, or is actually relevant to your interests, or, you know, just...
Do you get a say, or is it just like, you're in this area, you're getting something from that state, like...
No.
Advertised to you.
Well, no, we decide.
Oh, okay.
We decide, because we're the ones recording the ads.
Doritos. Do they make ads? Because they're about to. We'll make one for them.
We'll see what happens. Anyway, like, here's the thing. I realize this might be jarring. We're going to be looking into the possibility of whether or not it's contractually okay for us to, say, offer you ad-free podcasts on Patreon if that's something you want. But we are going to make sure that we're always having fun with it. It's always stuff that doesn't, you know, it's either going to be fun or it's going to be relevant, right? That's the goal. We hope that it can be an opportunity for us to get some extra revenue, so maybe we can do something bold like hiring Doug. We're not sure what's gonna really come from it.
We need to get Mountain Dew on the phone.
I'd like to point out that the weird coincidence of us picking up doing these weird food segments was far before we were approached for this.
And that does seem like a bit of a coincidence now, doesn't it?
Honestly, I feel like that segment's run its course.
Yeah, you think that, but I'm going to have a new flavor next month.
It's impossible for you to have a new flavor every time or every month. They do not come out with that many flavors.
You would think that.
You know what? But yeah, you've had a new flavor every time.
Yeah, sometimes I bring like four new ones, so we'll see.
Anyway, that's the thing that's happening. Obviously, we want to extend a conversation with you folks about that if that's, you know, if that's, well, I mean, it is happening.
Look, everyone's doing it.
The ink is dry.
Your favorite YouTube channels that you still watch all have ads now, and you've gotten over it. I mean, it's just the way it is. They have to survive. I'm serious. If you watch anything regularly on YouTube, they all have ads now.
What I'm saying is I'm very self-conscious about the fact that we're doing it, but in the long run, it seems like the best bet. However, like I said earlier, the Patreon is still like the backbone of us making sure we can actually do this from month to month, because ad sales, that shit is not guaranteed. So,
and it's not even that much.
Probably not. We haven't started yet. I don't know.
Who have you ever clicked on an ad that's popped up during a video?
Well,
because that's how they make money.
You know, podcast ads are different from YouTube ads.
Wait, what?
Yeah, Brandon.
Wait, how does that work?
These are.
I can't click on an audio file.
Audio only
ad comes up.
Audio advertisements inserted into the body of an episode. Every time someone downloads it, then they're like shuffled and inserted into the episode.
So they're just banking on the fact that someone's heard that ad and may or may not buy that product.
We're going to pitch that product to them in a funny and entertaining way. And then they can choose to use it or not. And they may or may not have trackable codes, like, say, use the code NerdyShow to get a 30% off your next order of Dilk. And
hoo-wee, I'm all full of Dilk right now.
So, you know, that's kind of be the gist of it.
Okay.
But anyway, we'll see what happens. Another major change is that Facebook switched up their algorithms, and we were also debating doing this for a while. We've been running for the past, I don't know, years now, the Nerdy Show Lounge on Facebook. It's a private Facebook group, or it was a private Facebook group that was available as a Patreon perk. And we've been having some amazing conversations on there. It's a really fun way to socialize. Recently, we've been having conversations about, it's kind of weird to keep this exclusive. Like, it's so much fun. Like, it's cool that it's exclusive, but also it's like, it seems like this is one of the most, this is, no one's on the Nerdy Show forums anymore. A handful of people use the Discord and
because who uses forums? Come on.
It's not in vogue anymore. I still really like the format. Not a lot of people use Reddit. So we have basically the most active places are the Nerdy Show Lounge, which is behind the paywall of Patreon, and then Discord, which only generally it's mostly folks who are in the gaming communities that use it. Like, I find it difficult.
So you decided to take this specially hand-selected group of people who are on the Nerdy Show Lounge and be like, you know what? Everyone is special. Everyone can be on the lounge.
Yes.
No money necessary. Everyone can be on the lounge. You're all special.
Well, we were, like I said, already considering it, and then Facebook changed their algorithm. So the Nerdy Show Network Facebook page is virtually useless. You'll never see a post from it unless you go through a bunch of extra steps, and even then it'll be slightly reduced. But groups and stuff, this is the Nerdy Show Lounge.
Russia advertising.
It's now open, and it's now basically the hub for socializing with all the hosts across the Nerdy Show Network. So if you want to join, please join. We'd love to have you. We're having great conversations on there about the new Muppet Babies and my strong feelings about Skeeter and her not being in the show, which I'm very mad about.
Skeeter's a her?
There's Scooter, and there's his twin sister, Skeeter.
What? I thought they were twin brothers. They're freaking Muppets.
Did you ever watch Muppet Babies?
It's not like their genitalia's coming out. You know what?
I don't think you ever watched the show.
Skeeter. Just keep talking. I'm looking up Skeeter. Oh, I'm bringing up people from Doug. Sorry.
Hey, Doug.
That's Quail Man.
Check out the Nerdy Show Lounge. Come hang out with us. I'm on there all the time. It's a lot of fun. What else we got? The show's probably running long. Yeah, it's about time. It's about time in the show. I've been playing the new Zelda DLC. It's a lot of fun.
The nude Zelda DLC?
The new Zelda.
Sounds like a hack.
It is a hack, yeah.
Nice. It's like that Lara Croft code back in the day. Remember that?
Yeah.
Pixelated.
And nudalities in Mortal Kombat 2. You remember?
Yeah, so good. Quality. It's great.
These are good things. These are good, true things. Makes you want to... You bring Aeris back from the dead, but she's nude?
I know. She's still fighting your party, and she glitches the rest of the game.
I accidentally put the nude code on Star Trek Discovery, and there's nude Klingons. It's really weird.
Hey, what's their, do they have different nipples? Are they all the same down there?
They're pierced, and there's six of them.
Yeah?
And they all say, Tukovma.
Tukovma.
Well, taking us out is a track by Daenerys and the Targaryens, the premier Game of Thrones rock band. They're very good. Very, very good. And they've got a new CD and LP called Drowned God. This is a track called Littlefinger Super Spy.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince.
I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.